Good evening and welcome to our April 12 evening service. We're going to start here in just a moment, but we're going to be reading from 1 John chapter 5 and from John chapter 16. So it's 1 John chapter 5 and John chapter 16, and the title of our message this evening is Reasonable Expectations. We're going to start in just a moment, so just a few minutes from now. So I encourage you to grab your Bibles, and we're going to start in just a moment. Once again, welcome to our April 12 evening service. And as we approach to come to our Lord together in a time of meditation, let's begin with a time of prayer. Let's pray together. Our Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have once again to read your word and to meditate upon it. We do pray, O Lord, that you would comfort our hearts, that you'd fill our hearts with your spirit and your grace. You have said in your word that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there, that you're with them, that you are present. So we do pray, O Lord, that you'd be present with us, that you'd be present with everyone who is participating this evening. And we do pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We do pray that you would use even this time, that you'd use this trial that we are experiencing as a time to sanctify your people, as a time to bring glory to your holy name, as a time to strengthen, to build your church, to add to your church. May we as a people be salt and light. May we go forth at the end of this day and into this week to come with joy and gladness in our hearts for all the blessings that are ours through Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. For our first reading for this evening, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 for our first scripture reading. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 5 of 1 John chapter 5. And as I said before, the sermon or the meditation for this evening is on reasonable expectations. And we're going to find that Jesus Christ promises trials, but he also promises that he has overcome this world. So we read about the overcoming in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, the first five verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What a wonderful promise of the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ, that when we believe in Christ, when we trust in him by faith, we too will overcome the world. Let's now turn in our songbooks to 379, if you have a songbook, Trinity Psalter Hymnal 379, Come Christian, Join to Sing. That's 379, Come Christian, Join to Sing.
Christ our King. Alleluia, amen. Let all with heart and voice before his throne rejoice. Praise is his gracious choice. Alleluia, amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. He is our guide and friend. To us he'll condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, amen. Praise ye to Christ again. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end a strain. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's blissful shore,
a wonderful reminder of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, that will praise his name forevermore. For our scripture reading this evening, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, we're going to be reading verses 25 through verse 33. So 25 to the end of the chapter, but our focus is going to be on John 16 at verse 33. So our text is John 16 at verse 33, but we'll start a reading at verse 25. So John chapter 16 at verse 25. I have said these things to you in a figure of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I come from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's as far as reading in God's word. May he bless it upon our hearts. And this evening, let's pray together. Our almighty God and heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we can read and we can meditate upon it. And we do pray, O Lord, that you would impress it upon our hearts by your Spirit. May we heed these words as the voice of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, and we thank you for the victory that is his and that we share in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what are your expectations for this world? What do you suppose or think will happen? What kind of life do you think you are owed or that you deserve? Well, unlike the false teachers of the prosperity gospel, God does not promise us that we will have our best life now. He does not say that everything is going to be easy or fun. Earlier this week, I was reading from Micah chapter 2 in my personal devotions, and in Micah chapter 2, we read that there were these false prophets who promised peace and prosperity. They preached of wine and strong drink, of times of plenty and ease. And yet Micah says these false preachers who promised plenty and ease were not from the Lord. The fact remains, no one wants to be a bearer of bad news. It's been often said that the bearer of ill news is an unwanted guest. Well, today in John chapter 16, we find that Jesus is going to be giving his disciples a sobering reminder. And in the context of John chapter 16, we find the promise that the world is going to hate you. It's going to hate the disciples. We find Jesus telling his disciples that he's going to die. And when the shepherd is struck, the disciples are going to scatter. They're each going to go to their own home. Well, John chapter 16 is telling us of some of these trials that the disciples are going to experience. It's going to appear that the disciples are going to be left all alone, that Jesus is going to be defeated by his enemies, and the ministry of Jesus is going to end in defeat. But as we saw this morning with the resurrection, Jesus Christ does win the victory. It's in this context of trial and uncertainty that Jesus gives us these wonderful words of comfort and peace. So this evening we consider this theme that Jesus Christ teaches us to have a reasonable expectation as we live in a fallen world. In fact, one of the reasons that we have fights and quarrels and disappointments in our lives so often is when our expectations are not met. So Jesus Christ is being very clear in revealing to us what we should expect in this fallen world. In our first point, we are going to see the presence of trouble. In verse 33, we read that Jesus says to his disciples that you are going to have trials and tribulations in this world. This is a reasonable expectation. The world is not a friend to grace, and your life will be filled with difficulties. In fact, as these disciples are going to personally experience, some of them are going to be slandered and stoned, persecuted, cast out, and even killed for their allegiance to Jesus Christ. Tribulation is to be expected in this world. But particularly as Christians, we experience unique trials that are linked to our identity as a follower of Jesus Christ. We struggle not only against the enemies out there, we struggle against the enemies within our own heart. We face various forms of persecution. We battle against sins within and powers of darkness without. We struggle against unbelief and our own lack of understanding. We forget things that we should remember, and we remember things that we should forget. We live with weakness of the flesh and the attack of our foe. Jesus uses the word here in verse 33. In the Greek, it's thlipsis, to describe the things that are going to happen to us. Jesus says, you will have trouble. You will have trial. You will have tribulation. This is something that will happen to you. It's not a possibility. It's not an option. It's a certainty. As a Christian living in a fallen world, you are going to have pressure which is placed upon you. You're going to face opposition, affliction, trouble, hardship. This world is going to hate you. In fact, throughout Scripture, when we find this world, a thlipsis or this tribulation, it's often linked to hardships found in the last days. Living in a world that is passing, living in a world that is fallen, means that we are going to face both spiritual and physical consequences. On the spiritual spectrum, we find the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. We have the devil that knows that his time is short, that knows his doom is sealed. So he battles against the bride of Christ. He makes war against the church of Jesus Christ. And physically, we have our own bodies, which grow old and frail. And this very created order, this world order, is in travail, as Romans 8:22 says. Even this earth is groaning together in the pain of childbirth. So it's not only our own bodies, but the whole created order is in anguish. It's in trouble and travail as it waits for the time that Christ returns on the clouds of glory. But until then, until the time that Christ returns on the clouds of glory, Jesus is saying to us as a church, you should expect trial. You should expect trouble. You should have every expectation of wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and pestilence, as Matthew 24 says. The point that Jesus is here making is that there are going to be times of trouble. So we should have a reasonable expectation. What should we expect in this world? Expect these kinds of difficulties. Trouble is not extraordinary, but it's common, so prepare for it. Not only is persecution something that we should be prepared for, as 2 Timothy 3 says, but we should expect life as a whole, living in a fallen world, to be hard. Isn't that what the Lord said to Adam after the fall? And it says, only by your sweat, only by your difficult work, it's only through trial that the earth is going to produce its harvest for you. We're battling against the consequences of sin. Our world is fallen. This is a particularly important reminder for my generation, because many of us in my generation have been raised with such ease and such decadence. We have had so many blessings given to us. We've never really had to deal with a sense of loss or a sense of struggle, having our plans not work out. But here, Jesus is making it clear, this world is going to be hard. The poor are always going to be with you. There's going to be unemployment. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be pain. There's going to be war. These things are expected, and they're not going to be done away with on this side of glory. There is no, and this is a good reminder, a good application, there is no government stimulus package or welfare program that is going to alleviate poverty. There is no healthcare plan that is going to cure all sickness. Jesus says, he promises that your life is going to have trials. Now, this is not to say that as Christians, we shouldn't be working to be a blessing to our community. Absolutely, we should be, and we're going to look at that. We're going to consider that next week. But here, Jesus is making it abundantly clear. Don't be surprised. Don't be caught off guard when you face trials and tribulations. But that's not the end of Jesus' message in our text, is it? Because Jesus is not only promising that there's going to be trials, he tells us in our second point of these trials and their defeat. Jesus is not simply saying, your life is going to be hard, so keep your head down and push on. He is not simply saying, life is hard, deal with it. No, there is much more comfort and blessing and peace, good news, to be found in our text today, because Jesus is not just a bearer of bad news. He is revealing the source of comfort and hope to those who are living in the context of tribulation. So as we continue into our second point, we find not only that there is a presence of trouble, but there is the defeat of this trouble made evident. Jesus says in verse 33, you will have troubles, you will have tribulations, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Notice that Jesus uses the past tense here to his disciples. It's very interesting. Here, Jesus says to his disciples, take heart. I have already overcome the world. I have already completed my victory. I have already won the battle. How does Jesus secure the victory? Remember, right after Jesus was baptized and he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, he faced the tempter and he overcame Satan's temptation. And as we celebrated this morning, by his death and resurrection on the third day, he has crushed Satan's head and he's broken the bars of Hades and death. Jesus Christ has secured the complete victory. Now, Jesus uses an interesting word here to speak of his victory. He says, I have overcome. Now, this word in the Greek is nikao, and it means to display or to possess complete victory. Now, children, have you ever seen the brand of shoes that has the swoosh on the side, the Nike shoe? Well, that word Nike is linked to this word, nikao, and it simply means victory or victorious. Jesus here says, I have the nikao, I have the victory, I have the complete power and sovereign victory in my hands. To prove his victory, Jesus throughout his ministry was able to overcome trial and tribulation in both the physical and in the spiritual realm. Jesus could speak the word and heal the sick, raise the dead, and forgive the sinners. Jesus Christ wins this complete victory, and he has secured the complete triumph over these trials and tribulations. Although we may face physical and spiritual trials in this life, the solution is found, the victory is found in Jesus Christ. So when we look around us, we see a poverty and sickness and disease and death all around us, and these will endure. These are going to be a part of our present age until Christ comes back. And the spiritual blindness and sin and that we see, the struggle against the old man, will endure until Christ returns on the clouds of glory. Throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, he faced both sickness and poverty, and his power was displayed in his victory over all of these. Now Jesus here promises that I have the victory, and because I have the victory, you can have peace. As we bring to a conclusion the second point, Jesus brings two benefits before us. There is a twofold response that we as God's people can have because of this comforting truth. He tells us what to expect. He tells us where the solution is found. And then he tells us the benefits that we receive. The first benefit is found in the opening of verse 33. Jesus says, I've told you these things. I've told you that you're going to have trials. I've told you what's going to happen to you as my disciples. I've told you that I am going to win the victory. And I've told you that the Father is with me. I've told you all these things so that you might have peace. Jesus' victory over every trial and tribulation, knowing the end of the matter, knowing that whatever trial and tribulation we have in this life is temporary. As 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4 says, he comforts us in our affliction and he encourages us in our tribulation. That's the same word that we find here. He comforts us, he encourages us in our tribulation. Note that this peace is not exclusive to the world to come. He says, you can have peace in this world. I've said these things to you that you may have peace in this world, in this life. Today, a quiet rest for our souls. A peace that our world does not understand. A peace of knowing him who overcomes. There's an interesting parallel. Jesus says, in this world, trouble. But in Jesus, there is peace. And the second benefit that Jesus gives us is that he tells us that we can have good cheer. He says, take heart. Literally, that means be of good cheer. It's like when the angels appear to the shepherds or appear to Mary, and it says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you good cheer. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9. Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. There is such hope. There is such comfort for us who follow after Jesus Christ because of the complete victory that he has won. There is no foe, no trial, no tribulation that can stand in his way until all things are made good and new and holy again. In this world, we will have sorrow, but in Jesus, we have joy and good cheer. There is no pandemic that can hinder or undo what Christ is doing and will do. Throughout this past series that we've been going through, I've referenced Romans 8, verse 35 many times, and I'm going to read it one more time. It says, who can separate us from the love of God? Listen to one of the things that Paul says here. Shall tribulation separate us? That's the same word that we find here in John. Jesus says you're going to have tribulations. And Paul says in Romans 8, can those tribulations separate you from the love of God that is yours in Christ Jesus? The answer is no. There is no tribulation, there is no trial that can come upon you, no spiritual or physical pain or foe that can remove you from the hands of a loving Savior. Because we are joined to Christ, we have the promise of complete victory. Earlier we read from 1 John 5 verse 4, which says this, "Whoever is born of God overcomes the world." What Jesus says about himself in John 16, John says concerning those who are joined to Christ in faith in 1 John chapter 5. Let me say that again. The very same word used to describe the victory, the nikao, that Jesus has is attributed to those who are joined to Jesus by faith. By faith, John says in 1 John 5, you will overcome this world. This overcoming that Christ has and God's people have in Christ is one of the themes that runs through the book of Revelation. In fact, this word is found 15 times. You will overcome. That's found 15 times in the book of Revelation. Because whatever foe or whatever enemy or whatever power comes against Christ, comes against God's people, will fall because the Lord is glorious. Even the gates of hell cannot prevail against the power of Christ. To overcome is really to have victory in Jesus. And it's that promise of victory, that promise of overcoming in Christ, is what really gives us lasting peace and cheer. So let me ask you today, brother or sister in Christ, are any of you facing trials? Is there anyone experiencing tribulation or pain, any hardship, any a foe or attack of the body or soul? If there is, and you are joined to Christ, then you can take heart and be of good cheer. You can have a peace that passes, that overcomes, because Christ has the victory. It is this overcoming, victorious Jesus who will one day return to wipe away every tear from our eye and cast out the last foe, which is death itself. And when Christ comes back, there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more isolation or separation from God or from his people, only unending, blissful fellowship between God and man. To conclude, in our text today, Jesus reveals the presence of trials and tribulations. But those trials and tribulations are counteracted, are met with peace and even good cheer because Christ has overcome. Jesus teaches us to have a reasonable expectation. Don't be surprised when life is difficult. You're living in a fallen world with a fallen body in a spiritual warfare. Don't be surprised when trials come, but rather rejoice that these trials are temporary, that these trials have been overcome, and one day they will be no more. So in this world, you will have trials. But in Christ, you have peace and comfort and joy, which is everlasting. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the comfort that we have of belonging to Jesus Christ, and the fact that since he overcomes and we are united to him in faith, that we too will overcome the trials and tribulations of this world. We pray, O Lord, that we would be ready for these trials, that we would be equipped with the armor of God, that we would be able to stand firm in the battle, and that we would take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, have the shoes of the gospel on our feet, that we'd be ready to stand firm in the day of trial. We do thank you, Lord, for the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. Fill us with this good cheer and comfort, which comes from knowing the one who overcomes. And in his name we pray. Amen. Let's confess the words of the Apostles' Creed together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And for our doxology, let's do praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us on our evening service on April 12th. We look forward to seeing you all again here next week, Lord willing. I pray for God's comfort and good cheer to be with you all. And I pray for God's blessing upon you and your families. And we look forward to seeing you in person in the near future. Take care and God bless. Bye. Woo.